And what, Venerable Nagasena, is the ambrosia bazaar of the Blessed One, the Buddha? An ambrosia, O King, has been made known by the Blessed One. That ambrosia with which he besprinkles the whole world of gods and men, as men anoint a king on his coronation day, and men and gods, when sprinkled with that ambrosia, are set free from rebirth, old age, disease, and death, from grief and lamentation, and pain, and sorrow, and despair. And what is that ambrosia? That meditation which consists in active attention to and leads to a true grasp of the real conditions of corporeal things? For it has been said, O King, by the Blessed One, the God over all gods. They, O brethren, feed on ambrosia who feed on active attention directed to corporeal things. This, O King, is what is called the Blessed One's Ambrosia Bazaar. He saw mankind afflicted with disease. He opened freely his ambrosia shop. Go then, O brethren, give your karma for it, and buy and feed on that ambrosial food. And what, Venerable Nagasena, is the jewel bazaar of the Blessed One, the Buddha? Certain jewels, O King, have been made known by the Blessed One, and adorned with those jewels, the children of the Blessed One shine forth in splendor, illuminating the whole world of gods and men, brightening it in its heights, in its depth, from horizon to horizon, with a brilliant glory. And those jewels are these, the jewel of right conduct, and the jewel of meditation, and the jewel of knowledge, and the jewel of emancipation, and the jewel of the insight which arises from the assurance of emancipation, and the jewel of discrimination, and the jewel of sevenfold wisdom of the Arahats. And what, O King, is the Blessed One's jewel of right conduct? The right conduct which follows on self-restraint according to the rules of the Patimokkha, the right conduct which follows on restraint of the bodily organs and the mind, the right conduct which results from a pure means of livelihood, the right conduct in relation to the four requisites of a recluse, the right conduct presented in the short and middle and long summons, the right conduct of which who are walking in the path, and the right conduct of those who have attained each of the various fruits thereof, beginning at conversion and ending at arahatship. And all the beings in the world, O King, gods and men, and the Maras too, the spirits of evil, and the Brahmas, the very highest of the gods, and Samanas, and Brahmin, are filled with longing and desire for a man who wears at his ornament this jewel of right conduct. And the Bhikkhu, O King, who puts it on shines forth in glory all around, upwards and downwards, from side to side, surpassing in lustre all the jewels to be found from the waveless deep, below to the highest heavens above, excelling them all, overwhelming them all. Such, O King, are the jewels of right conduct set out for sale in the Blessed One's Bazaar of Gems. And this is what is called the Blessed One's Jewel of Righteousness. Such are the virtues sold in that bazaar, the shop of the Enlightened One. The blessed pay karma as the price. O ye outclad, buy and put on these lustrous Buddha gems. And what, O King, is the Blessed One's jewel of meditation? The meditation that consists of specific conceptions and of investigation regarding them. The meditation that consists of reflection only. Specific conceptions being lost sight of the meditation that continues after specific conceptions and reflections on them have both ceased. The meditation that is void of lust, evil dispositions, and karma. The meditation from which three signs of an unconverted life, lust, malice, and dullness, are absent. The meditation in which no low aspirations remain. And when a bhikkhu, O King, has put on this jewel of meditation, samadhi, then ideas of lust and ideas of anger and ideas of cruelty and all the various bad thoughts that have their basis in the evil dispositions of pride, self-righteousness, adhesion to wrong views, and doubt, all these, since they come into contact with meditation, flow off from him, disperse, and are dispelled. They stay not with him, adhere not to him. Just, O King, as when water has fallen on a lotus leaf, it flows off from it, is dispersed and scattered away, stays not on it, adheres not to it. So when a bhikkhu has put on this jewel of meditation, then ideas of lust and ideas of anger and ideas of cruelty and all the various bad thoughts that have their basis in the evil dispositions of pride, self-righteousness, obstinacy, and wrong views, and doubt. These all, as soon as they come in contact with meditation, blow off, disperse, and are dispelled. Stay not with him, adhere not to him. And why not? Because of the exceeding purity of that habit of meditation. This, O King, is what is called the Blessed One's jewel of meditation. And such are the jewels of meditation set out for sale in the Blessed One's Bazaar of Gems. Bad thoughts can never arise beneath the brow, encircled by this coronet of gems. It charms away perplexed and wandering thoughts. Make it your own. Buy it. Put on the crown. And what, O King, is the Blessed One's jewel of knowledge? That knowledge by which the disciple of the Noble Ones knows thoroughly what is virtue and what is not, what is blameworthy and what is not, what should be made a habit of and what should not, what is mean and what is exalted, what is dark and what is light, and what is both dark and light. The knowledge by which he truly knows what sorrow is and what the origin of sorrow is and what the cessation of sorrow is and what is the path that leads thereto. This, O King, is what is called the Blessed One's jewel of knowledge. He who has knowledge as his jeweled wreath will not continue long in outward form. Soon will he reach nirvana, in rebirth, in any world, no longer take delight. And what, O King, is the Blessed One's jewel of emancipation? Arahatship is called the jewel of emancipation. And the bhikkhu who has reached arahatship is said to have decked himself with the jewel of emancipation. And just as a man, O king, who is decorated with ornaments made of strings of pearls, of diamonds and gold and corals, whose limbs are anointed with akalu and with frankincense, and with talus and with red sandalwood, who is adorned with a garland of ironwood blossoms and rutleria flowers, and flowers from the sal tree and the salala and the champak and yellow jasmines and atimutaka flowers and trumpet flowers and lotuses and white and Arabian jasmines. Just as with all this finery of garlands and perfumes and jewelry, he would outshine all other men, overwhelming them with brilliant glory and splendor. Just so, O king, does he who has attained to Adahatship, he in whom the great evils, lust and becoming, delusion and ignorance are rooted out, he who has put on the diadem of emancipation of heart, just so does he outshine all other bhikkhus from the lowest in attainment up to those even who are themselves emancipated, overwhelming them in brilliant glory and splendor. And why is that so? Because, O king, there is one diadem that is the chief of all, and that is this diadem of emancipation of heart. And this, O king, is what is called the Blessed One's jewel of emancipation. All the people that dwell in a house look up to their Lord when he wears his crown of gem. The wide world of the gods and of men looks up to the wearer of freedom's diadem. And what, O king, is the Blessed One's jewel of the insight that follows on the assurance of emancipation, the knowledge arising out of looking back over the corpse, that knowledge by which the disciple who is walking along the excellent way passes from time to time, both the way itself and the fruits thereof up to nirvana, in review, and is aware what evil dispositions he has got rid of and what evil dispositions remain to be conquered. That is what is called the jewel of the assurance that follows on the knowledge of emancipation, the knowledge by which the noble ones know the stages they've passed and the road yet untrod. Strive, O ye sons of the conqueror, strive, that jewel, assurance, themselves to attain. And what, O king, is the Blessed One's jewel of discrimination? The discrimination of the sense of, and the discrimination of the deeper truth underlying the sense of the sacred writ, and the discrimination of philological peculiarities, and the discrimination of correct and ready exposition. And the bhikkhu, O king, who is adorned with these four jewels of discrimination, whatsoever company he enters into, whether of nobles or Brahmins or merchants or workpeople, enters it in confidence, neither put out nor shy, undaunted and undismayed. He enters the assembly without excitement of fear, just, O king, as a warrior, a hero in the fight, when accoutred in all his harness of war, goes down undismayed to the battle, in the confident thought, if the enemy should remain afar off, I can knock them down with my arrows. Should they come thence towards me, I can hit them with my javelins. And should they come yet nearer, I can reach them with my spear. Should they come right up, I can cleave them in two with my saber. Should they come to close quarters, I can pierce them through and through with my dagger. Just so, O King, does the bhikkhu, when he wears the fourfold jewel of discernment, enter any assembly undismayed, in the confident thought, should anyone put to me a puzzle turning on the discrimination of the sense, I shall be able to explain it, comparing sense with sense, explanation with explanation, reason with reason, argument with argument, and thus shall I resolve his doubts, dispel his perplexity, and delight him by my exposition of the problem raised. Should anyone put to me a puzzle turning on discrimination of the deeper truth, I shall be able to explain it by comparing truth with truth and the various aspects and phases of adahatship, each with each, and thus his doubts too shall I be able to resolve, and dispelling his perplexity. To delight him with my exposition of the problem raised, should anyone put to me a puzzle turning on the discrimination of philological peculiarities, I shall be able to explain it by comparing derivation with derivation, and word with word, and particle with particle, and letter with letter, and one modification of a letter by contact sandhi with another, and consonant with consonant, and vowel with vowel, and accent, intonation with accent, and quantity with quantity, and rule with rule, and idiom with idiom. And thus his doubts too shall I be able to resolve, and dispelling his perplexity to delight him with my exposition of the problem raised. Should anyone put to me a puzzle turning on the discrimination of expositions, I shall be able to explain it by comparing metaphor with metaphor, and characteristic with characteristic, and sentiment with sentiment. And thus, his doubts, too, shall I be able to resolve, and dispelling his perplexity to delight him with my exposition of the problem raised. And this, O King, is what is called the Blessed One's Jewel of Discrimination. First, buy the jewel of discrimination, then cut it with your knowledge and your skill. So free from all anxiety and fear, shall you illuminate both earth and heaven. And what, O King, is the Blessed One's jewel of the sevenfold wisdom of the Adahats? It is self-possession and investigation of the system of doctrine, and zeal, and joy, and tranquility, and contemplation, and equanimity, and the bhikkhu, O King, who is adorned with this sevenfold jewel of the divisions of the higher wisdom, shines forth over the whole world of gods and men, brightens it, illuminates it, and dispersing the darkness makes the light arise. This, O King, is what is called the Blessed One's jewel of the sevenfold wisdom. The gods and men in reverence stand up to him who wears this wisdom diadem. Show your good actions, then that is the price, and buy and wear this wisdom diadem. And what, Venerable Nagasena, is the bazaar for all manner of merchandise set up by the Blessed One, the Buddha? The Blessed One's bazaar for all manner of merchandise, O King, is the ninefold world of the Buddha, and the relics remaining of his body, and of the things he used, and the sacred mounds, Ketiyana, the Gabbas, erected over them, and the jewel of his order. And in that bazaar there are set out by the Blessed One the attainment and a future birth of high lineage, and of wealth, and of long life, and of good health, and of beauty, and of wisdom, and of worldly glory, and of heavenly glory, and of nirvana. And of these all, they who desire either the one or the other give karma as the price, and so buy whichever glory they desire, and some buy with it a vow of right conduct, and some by observance of the Uposatha day, and so on down to the smallest karma price, they buy the various glories from the greatest to the least. Just, O King, as in the trader's shop, oil, seed, and peas, or beans, are brought for a small price, decreasing in order according to requirement. Just so, O King, in the Blessed One's bazaar, for all manner of merchandise advantages are to be bought for karma according to requirement. And this, O King, is what is called the Blessed One's bazaar of all manner of merchandise. Long life, good health, beauty, rebirth in heaven, high birth, nirvana, all are found for sale, there to be bought for karma, great or small, in the great conqueror's world-famed bazaar. Come, show your faith, O brethren, as the price. Buy and enjoy such goods as you prefer.